is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Hotel Mars, episode end. David Livingston, Dr. Space, my colleague and co-host and co-pilot. And again, we're going back in our time machine to the period that is associated with the ending of dinosaurs. That asteroid that struck somewhere near the Yucatan Peninsula that changed the direction of planet Earth towards mammals and other creatures. We welcome Professor Ted Schultz, research entomologist, Department of Entomology, National Museum of Natural History, Smithsonian Institution, publishing recently its Science magazine about other creatures on Earth, and some of those creatures are fungi that blossomed after the death of the dinosaurs. Ted, a very good evening to you. Thank you very much. Ant farmers, this is a wonderful concept. You propose in your science piece that ant farming existed before the dinosaurs' death, but that it blossomed afterwards. What is ant farming, Ted? Good evening to you.
And good evening to you, and thank you for inviting me. Ant farming is actually what you might expect. There are many species of ants, over 14,000 species of ant. A very small number, all descended from a common farming ancestor. Slightly less than 250 species practice true agriculture. They grow fungi for food. They have fungus gardens, usually in subterranean chambers. They nourish those gardens. They weed those gardens. They remove unwanted fungi and bacteria. They harvest the fungi for food. They feed it to their larvae. And when a daughter queen leaves her nest to mate and start a new colony, she carries a bit of her mother's fungus garden with her in her mouth. So ant agriculture has all of the elements, all of the major elements that human agriculture has.
Wonderful. And that existed before and after, but we're keen on the event itself because this is Hotel Mars and we're not on our way to Mars if we're dinosaurs, I believe. So given that we're mammals, I want to know what other creatures blossomed these last 66 million years. When the asteroid hit, we're told, there were secondary eject all around the Earth and set the forest on fire for weeks, for months, and filled the sky with smoke and detritus, cutting off sunlight and pretty much ending photosynthesis for X number of years, maybe centuries. No one knows. The leaves fell off and fell to the ground. The dinosaurs lost their source of nutrients and died off. And the little bitty creatures crawling around with four legs, the mammals underneath, survived so that we're here from that moment. The ants themselves, how did they fare in the asteroid? How did the fungi that they fed off fare in the asteroid moment?
Well, many ants undoubtedly went extinct or did very poorly. And I think a lot of those ants probably lived up in the vegetation or were directly, one way or another, directly dependent on vegetation. Many ants, for instance, herd aphid cattle. Those aphids probably all died when their plant hosts died, and the ants that tended the aphids probably died. But we also know that immediately following that extinction event, that some fungi proliferated in the fossil record. And I suspect that it's very likely that those fungi were fungi that degrade organic, like plant matter. There was a huge trove of dead plant matter for them to degrade and eat. So I think what we propose is that there was a preliminary association between a group of ants. There are many ants that live in the leaf litter. The leaf litter is a major ecosystem for certain kinds of ants. And we propose that there was a leaf litter dwelling ancestral ant that lived in the leaf litter. It was in a sort of pre-association with a fungus that decayed leaf litter, and that pair of organisms took advantage of the situation following the meteor impact and entered into a very tight association wherein the ants brought leaf litter to the fungus, to a central point. The fungus turned that leaf matter into nutrition, and it shared that nutrition with its ant farmers.
David, you have a question.
From the fossil records, do these ants and fungi differ very much from what we have today?
Well, first of all, we don't have any fossil record from that time period of the ants. I mean, we do have a fossil record of ants in general that both precedes that time period and succeeds that time period, including fungus farming ants, but from much more recently, like 15 million years ago in Dominican amber. So I can't tell you much about what the ancestral fungus farming ant looked like. And the fungi, they're in a layer, a stratum that immediately follows the impact event. And I don't know more than that about what I think all we know is that they look like typical fungal hyphae, but I couldn't argue that they look exactly like the fungi that the ants cultivate.
You call this in the science piece a mutualistic culture, mutualistic between the ant, the fungi, and the decaying matter. Is that a way to describe human beings as well? Are we in a mutualistic relationship with creatures that we eat?
I believe so. And I think that, you know, the more general term is symbiosis, and symbioses can be sort of neutral, where say two partners, neither one benefits very much, but they do live in a close association. They can be parasitic, where one partner benefits at the expense of the other, or they can be mutualistic, in which both partners benefit. And you might immediately think, like, well, in human agriculture, I think our cultivars, our domesticates, are not really benefiting. But if you look at the biomass of most human, you know, cattle on the planet Earth, or chickens, and if you gauge how much something's benefiting by how much biomass it's producing, I call that a mutualism.
David, you have a question.
Did other tiny creatures or fungi survive and flourish after the extinction event, or are ants the only ones that we know of?
Oh, no. Many, many things survived across the, you know, major groups of organisms. We don't have a very good record of what exact species survived, but we know that organisms, major groups of organisms, including many groups of insects, existed both prior to and following the KPG extinction event. And we know that a fair number of groups of ants also survived, but it's been hypothesized prior to our paper that the things that would make it across the best would be small detritivores that make their living feeding on detritus, or predators of those detritivores, especially organisms that live down deep in the leaf litter or even underground, because they would have been protected by those firestorms that immediately followed the event. And we do know, for instance, that the sister group of the fungus farming ants, which for years I was trying to figure out the identity of, because we didn't know. We now know what the sister group is. It does not grow fungi. It's a predatory group. But when you look at the most primitive members of that group, it seems very likely that the ancestor of that group, preyed on Columbella. Columbella are detritivorous arthropods that live in the soil and in leaf litter. So again, one group of, and when I say sister group, I mean these two lineages arose simultaneously. They're sisters to each other. And in one case, one lineage went off to become fungus farming ants. And in the other case, this lineage went off to be specialized predators of detritivorous Collembola.
I learned from recent news that the meeting for COP16, International Biodiversity Meeting, taking place in Latin America, Colombia, I believe, has something called the Fungal Conservation Pledge, looking to establish that fungi are a separate kingdom from the plant and animal kingdoms. So that means, I believe, that the ants are feeding on another kingdom. That kingdom's always been here. That kingdom could be anywhere in the universe. Is that important, Ted, that fungi are a separate development all by them, all alone? They're not under the roof of plants. They're not under the roof of animals.
I think it's very important, and I think for many centuries, really, people thought that plants and fungi were related, or fungi were a special kind of plant, mainly because, fungi don't move around. They're not very mobile. Plants aren't very mobile. But in fact, fungi are more closely related to animals than to plants. And the quality that that animals and fungi share is that both have to eat other living things in order to survive, whereas plants are able to take minerals and sunlight and water and survive. So I think it's very important, and I think because we have these three multicellular kingdoms, plants, animals, and fungi, that we can compare, we can make a lot of inferences about, what is required to be a multicellular life form, just from observing life forms on planet Earth.
David Livingston and I are speaking with Ted Schultz, research entomologist, Department of Entomology, National Museum of Natural History, Smithsonian Institution, with his colleagues publishing at Science Magazine, the top of the peer-reviewed magazines for science on the planet. The Coevolution of Fungus Ant Agriculture. Farmers. Ants are farmers. When we come back, we're going to give Ted an unlimited budget. What next? To explore these three mutualistic cultures: plants, animals, and fungi. I'm John Batchelor.